Next case, please.
The next case will be number 11,962, Jill and June Cizerski. They are seeking a variance from the height requirement for fences, a special use exception to operate a commercial dog kennel, and a special use exception for a garage studio apartment, sections 115-23 and 115-185 of the Sussex County's zoning code. The property is located on the northeast side of Gravel Hill Road, Route 30, approximately 754 feet southwest of the intersection of Gravel Hill Road and Neptune Road. The 911 address is 16808 Gravel Hill Road, Milton. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 235, Map 25, Parcel 4.10. We received zero letters of opposition, zero letters of support, and no mail returns.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Robertson is here to serve as counsel for the board on this application.
All right, thank you.
Second. If you would both state your names and place of residence for the record.
Jill Cizerski, 16808 Gravel Hill Road, Milton, Delaware.
June Cizerski, 16808 Gravel Hill Road.
Thank you. Do you both swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
I do.
Oh, okay. All right. You can take the podium with Mr. Hutt. Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board.
Good evening, sir.
As I think you all know, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. A moment ago, I handed some exhibit notebooks to Ms. Cornwell to become part of the record and hopefully help clarify tonight's application. I know it looks like a lot of information, and hopefully a picture will be worth a thousand words, so we can go through that rather quickly. Tonight's application is a little unique because there's essentially four sub-applications that are part of this application, and I'll go through those in a moment. This evening, I am representing the two ladies who were just sworn in with Mr. Robertson, Jill and June Cizerski, and they own the properties that, or rather, they own the property that is the subject of tonight's application. The deed showing the property in their name is included in the exhibit notebook at tab 2. The first tab is simply a copy of the application for your ease of reference as we discuss the application tonight. And as I said a moment ago, the application consists of four parts. There are two special use exception requests and two variance requests. The special use exceptions are for a garage studio apartment. And as you know, that will allow there to be two dwellings on the property, both the primary single family dwelling as well as the garage studio apartment. The second special use exception is for a commercial kennel for 5 years. And then there are the two variance applications. There is a 1 foot height variance for a fence that is in the rear of the property, and there is a 2 foot height variance requested for a fence in the front yard of the property. The property that is the subject of tonight's application is actually shown on the screen in front of you, and it is located at 16808 Gravel Hill Road, which is near Neptune Road, if you know where that is, on Gravel Hill Road. The property is 3.2 acres and is zoned AR1. As you can sort of tell from the screen, but actually if you look in your exhibit notebook at tabs 6 and 7, you will see that, actually beginning at tab 5, you will see some tax maps with the property highlighted in yellow and then some aerial imagery of the property. And you will see that these properties are located in an area that is agricultural and rural in Sussex County. Last April, the Cizerskis received a notice of violation from the Planning and Zoning Office, which indicated that the fence, which I just mentioned a moment ago, that exists in the rear yard, was too tall. It exceeded the 7 foot height limit. If you look at tab 3, you will see a copy of tab four. You'll see a copy of that notice of violation And if you were to turn, again, there's a lot of pictures there that the inspector took when he looked through the, when he went through the property. And they actually are a good representation of the property. But if you look at the third picture from the very end, you will see the inspector's measurement showing that the fence in the rear yard is 7 feet, 3.5, or maybe even 7 feet, 4 inches, I guess depending on the angle of the camera. In that same letter or notice to the Sisurskis, the inspector indicated that no breeding of dogs could occur on the property. As you'll see when you look at those pictures, you can see that part of the pole barn building that is on the property is a kennel-type building. The Sisurskis didn't think it was a kennel because no dogs had been bred there. Jill Sisursky is a breeder of German short-haired pointers, and she does sell them throughout the New England area, but at that time there hadn't been breeding of dogs on the property. Obviously, receiving a notice like that from the Planning and Zoning Office caused the Sisurskis to take action. They had meetings with, at the time, the Planning and Zoning Director, which was Mr. Lang, and as well as Ms. Cornwell. And a number of things were discussed, including their plans for the property. And probably the best way to discuss their plans for the property and how they wanted to use it is to look at the site plan or boundary survey that is located at tab 7 in the exhibit notebook that you have. And as you'll see, if you're looking at that survey, you'll see that the property is very deep, and the house sits a little more than 350 feet from Gravel Hill Road. And the home is a proposed home. That's the single-family dwelling that Jill Sisurski would like to build later this year, late summer, early fall, and into the winter for her and her family. As you can see, between the single-family dwelling and Gravel Hill Road, there is a proposed pasture of 1.3 acres. And then behind the home, there is the garage, studio, apartment, and kennels, as well as the existing fenced enclosed area or dog run as it's shown on there. And that is how they wanted to use the property, and through discussions with the Planning and Zoning Office, what came about from those discussions was the application that is here before you tonight. With respect to what the property looks like, probably the best way, as I said at the outset, is to look at the pictures. And those pictures are found in tab 9 of the exhibit notebook. And to be clear, the first picture is not this property. The first picture is simply the type of fencing that would be used along the fence for the horse pasture. It's the right height to make sure that the horses are secured inside the pasture, and of course also to discourage anybody else who happened to be around from getting into the pasture area easily. The second picture, however, is a picture of the property. If you were looking down along Gravel Hill Road, and the picture sort of show you how it looks if you were to turn into the driveway and head onto the property. As you'll see when you turn down the driveway, there is quite a bit of land between Gravel Hill Road and the existing pole barn structure, which has, again, the kennels as well as the garage, studio, apartment. As you would drive down the lane, you would come closer, obviously, to the existing building. And off to your right, right in front of the building, is the area where the proposed single-family dwelling is. The next picture is simply a close-up picture of the pole barn, as is the next one. There is an interior picture of the pole barn. And then you'll see pictures of the six stalls for the kennels where the dogs would be. And then an outside picture of those same kennels. And then near the end is a picture of this breed of dog, the German short-haired pointers, as well as a litter of puppies. And again, that sort of gives the perspective of what the plans were, the Sisurski plans were to use the property, and what they hope, when you combine that with the survey that was shown in tab 7, what they hope to be able to use the property for. With respect to the factors for the granting of a variance, well, the first factor is whether or not there is a uniqueness of the property. And the uniqueness of the property for the rear fence is the irregular topography that sometimes causes the fence to be more than 7 feet in height and sometimes less than 7 feet in height. The fence is being measured from the ground level, and as you could see in the pictures in tab 9, the fence is perfectly level going out from the building. And in order to have a consistent height, obviously in some places the ground falls away from the fence, in other places the ground is higher. The fence is a consistent height all the way around the entire dog run, and that creates the locations along the ground area where the fence may be a few inches over. The inspector's picture again showed a location where it was between 3 and 4 inches over the requested, or the required 7 foot height rather. In the front yard fence, the uniqueness of the property is that this property sits amongst properties with large lots where there are most of the buildings sit back several hundred feet from the road. And when that occurs, obviously people want to be able to utilize their front yards for things like pastures for horses and other agricultural type uses. In addition, if you look at the plot in tab 7, you will see that along this section of Gravel Hill Road, the properties sit back fairly far from the edge or the shoulder of the road. There is a 25-foot gap between Gravel Hill Road, the paving on Gravel Hill Road, and the beginning of this property. What's being proposed is that the fence, the 5.5-foot fence, begin 10 feet in from that line, which means that if you were on Gravel Hill Road, it'll have the appearance of being 35 feet off of the highway. The second factor is whether it is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. And the variance is necessary in the rear yard for the fence so that the fence can have that consistent height all the way around the dog kennel and dog runs. And the variance in the front yard setback is necessary, as I said at the outset, so that horses are kept and maintained within the area. A 3.5-foot fence is not high enough to keep horses safely in a pasture. The third factor is whether or not it was created by the applicant. And certainly the variation in the topography in the rear yard was not created by the applicant, and nor was the typical large front yard setbacks along Gravel Hill Road or the area of land between Gravel Hill Road and the front yard for this property. The fourth factor is whether or not it will alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And as you could see in looking at the tax maps and the Google Earth map that showed sort of the surrounding area, this is an agriculturally used area. These uses are consistent with owners with large lots and agricultural type uses. This board, April of 2015, this board considered another fence application at the intersection of Gravel Hill Road and Neptune Road. And in case number 11555, the board approved a 6-foot privacy fence at that intersection. Again, that was an owner who had some horses and wanted privacy and protection from noises and such for those horses along Gravel Hill Road. In addition, if you look at tab 10, you will see that the Sisersky's sent a letter to many of their neighbors explaining what tonight's application was for. And as part of that, they included a form at the end for neighboring property owners to check if they were in favor of each of the four things that are on the agenda tonight for this property. You will see that three neighbors responded that they were in favor of all four of those applications, which would include those requested height variances for the fences. The last factor is whether this is the minimum variance that would afford relief. And with respect to the fence in the rear yard, obviously we could try to make this 3 feet or 3 3/4 inches or some precise number. But I think through discussions with the Planning and Zoning Office and maybe just the common sense of it, the ground may continue to give way in certain places. So a 1 foot variance is the minimum that would make sure that the fence stayed in conformity with the required fence height with a 1 foot variance. With respect to the front fence. The 2-foot variance is the minimum that's necessary in order to keep the horses in the pasture area so they don't escape from there and become a public hazard. With respect to the special use exceptions, the first special use exception that will be discussed is the commercial dog kennel.
Me?
As I mentioned, Ms. Sisersky would like to breed her line of German short-haired pointers at this property. In any given year, they could have up to 3 litters amongst all of the dogs that are there. Through conversations with her, she indicated that the puppies leave between the 7th and 8th week. So as you can tell, the simple math on that is that means that there is a potential for puppies on the property somewhere around 21 to 24 weeks out of the year. The puppies they try to maintain the puppies inside so that they are not stung by mosquitoes and pick up diseases and such that are transferred in that fashion, and also to protect the puppies in general, as obviously puppies are very vulnerable in their earliest stages of their life. The puppies would very rarely venture outside of the kennel that you saw the pictures of, but when they did, they would be within that fenced-in area, the area that you've seen in the pictures in both tab 9 and in the building inspector's report. The applicant is requesting a special use exception for 5 years for the commercial kennel, and because the puppies will be indoors and only there for 21 to 24 weeks, this will not have will not substantially adversely affect the uses of the neighboring properties. The second special use exception that's requested is a garage studio apartment. And as you all know, and I mentioned at the outset, the county code only allows 1 dwelling per parcel, unless there is a special use exception for a garage studio apartment. Under the definition of garage studio apartment, it is a dwelling that is comprised of less than 800 square feet. Included at tab 8 is a schematic plan showing the layout of the pole barn building that you've seen in the pictures, what exists on the property. And if you're looking at the plan, the garage apartment or studio apartment is on the far left, and it is 37 feet by 14 feet or 518 square feet. Since the pole barn has been built, the Sisersky's have had tenants in that place. As they get closer to constructing their single family dwelling, they intend to move into the property during the construction, while that construction is going on. Obviously, they look forward to that, as it'll mean that they're on the property all the time with the dogs. As you can see from the aerial pictures in both the tabs and even on the screen in front of you, it is very common on these large lots in the rural setting for there to be outbuildings and pole buildings of this nature on the property. For instance, if you were to look at the second picture in tab 9, there is the perspective again as you first turn onto the driveway and look towards the rear of the property, and you can see the Sisersky's pole barn building, and then behind it you see several other pole barn buildings, which again are the same ones that you see on the tax maps in front of you, but it is very common for properties in this area to have these outbuilding structures. As I mentioned before, and this would apply to both special use exceptions, the letters of support that are included at tab 10 were also all in support of the requested special use exceptions. For all of these reasons, the applicant asked the board to grant the requested height variances for the fences in the front and the rear yards, as well as the special use exception for the commercial kennel and for the garage studio apartment. I'm going to ask Jill Sisersky if she could come up here at this time. You've heard the information that was presented to the board this evening. Was everything that was presented accurate and true to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
That concludes my presentation. I'm available, as well as both of the Mrs. Sisersky's, if there are any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Hudson, do you have any questions at this time?
Just one, the horses are not present on the property now, obviously. Are they pleasure horses to be? Is that the goal of the horses, or are they for a breeding purpose?
They are for pleasure.
Yes.
So as far as that won't be part of the business part of the property then?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Burkett?
No questions.
Mr. Burkett?
Yeah, the fence, the white fence, was that already there, the pole building, and the white fence is already put up there?
The pole barn building and the fence are, yes, they are in existence. And probably one of, some of the better pictures to look at them were either in tab 9 or in the building inspector's report, Mr. Whaley's report. There are several pictures showing the fence as it extends out away from the pole barn building and encloses the dog run area.
That's going to be the dog run area where the, where that fence is at?
Yes. Okay. That's connected right to the six kennels that you saw on the, in the building.
Okay.
It comes right out from those and then it creates a dog run.
And the other pasture is going to be next to that fence too, that part of that?
Correct.
So it's going to butt up to that?
Correct.
Okay. No other questions?
Okay. Mr. Mills?
The pasture fence is going to be a wire fence just like in the picture?
Yes.
So it'll be, you'll be able to see through that, but not the one for the kennels?
Correct. It'll be very distinguishable from the ones at the kennel. It'll look like that first picture on tab 9. And even though it sits 35 feet off the highway, I would imagine that's one of the reasons for the height for front fence yards, front fences, is so that they don't block any vision of traffic. But as I mentioned, this fence will be 35 feet off of Gravel Hill Road.
Right. Okay. No other questions.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Would you like, those that are in opposition, please come forward and be sworn in.
Just to be clear before we go forward, did the lady who was in favor, did she want to speak, or were you just showing your hand?
In support. Did you wish to speak, ma'am, or you just showing your hand in support?
I just wanted to make sure, because we kind of, she raised her hand and we moved on. I just didn't want to... Take a step back just for a second so we get this lady to have an opportunity to speak. If you come up. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. If you would go to the podium and state your name and place of residence for the record.
Hi, my name is Leslie Hayes, and I live in Milton. I live in on lot 357 on Neptune Road. And we have been neighbors with the Sazerskis now for a couple years. We also have horses. It doesn't show it on that picture, but we have horses on our lot. Very responsible people, very kind, very helpful, very on top of things, and just really good people to have as neighbors. And I just wanted to come out here and just... let you guys know that she is a very responsible person and trustworthy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay. Now, those that are in opposition, please come forward and be sworn in.
Come on up and be sworn up, sworn in. If you place your hand on the Bible, if that's your inclination. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Rieger. If you would, for the record, state your name and place of residence.
Paul J. Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road. First thing is, can you click on that picture to make that just a little bit bigger, please? Can you go up another one or two? Go reverse down. Because when I was looking at this at the house, one frame it would be empty. You'd go bigger, a little smaller, and then you'd have the image with all the property on it come up with the buildings and the structure. It's just not a fair representation when you're looking at it. Versus if the county has the website available with the correct pictures, we should have it.
It all depends on what the base map is, you know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Roberts. If it goes up and down, it jumps back. It does come in with the house at least on Chrome it was doing it all. There it goes.
Yeah.
It comes up. It's the glitch that I've been asking for a long time to fix. It's ridiculous that we don't have it fixed with the investment that we put into the internet. The first thing that I'm here for is the variances for the fences. I don't believe that they should be here for a variance for the fence. We've been going back and forth with this through the county for a while. Mr. Moore wrote it. I believe according to the code, commercial, industrial, agricultural uses, the director of planning has the decision for the approval. It says this height limit does not apply to fences or wall use for commercial, industrial, agriculture uses, screening, tennis courts. Every such fence must be approved by the director. Like I've been saying for the longest time, I have a 5-foot high barbed wire fence next to me. And I have horses. And it comes down to where it's been classified, either a garden or a goat. It's approved by the director to go over the height limit. I believe that if it's in agriculture, where they have horses with the kennel, I don't believe that this board should be approving or authorizing the fence. The decision was made on my property next door to me. It's a simple planning and zoning decision, not a board of adjustment decision. So they have all the qualifications for agriculture. You're giving them a commercial kennel license. They fit that one too. It should be up to the director to either approve it or deny it and take it from there. It shouldn't be picking which ones we want to choose. Now with this property, to get back to the fences and why I believe, and I sat back on this one just to see where yous would go. When you had did Mrs. Kershaw's lot, who passed away, wonderful woman, with the stockade fence for her horses prior, it was geared up in an agriculture use. After what I was doing, and I even spoke to Mrs. Kershaw after that, I said, from what I dealt with, I don't even understand why you're here. It should have just been approved. With that said, with the keeping of the dogs and the structure and permitted uses for the variances for the kennel, are the kennel, are you going for a setback variance and then a use variance? What is, when you do the special use for the kennels, are you giving it a setback off the property line too? Or is it a free reign, just a variance to have the kennels? Because if you need a 200-foot setback under for the kennel, what setback are you allowing or not allowing for that? And is the use? And here's the thing, if the special use for the kennel is only 5 years, that's why I'm saying with the fence, are you tagging in approving the fence based on the special use? As soon as the special use expires, the fence have to come down? Or is there all different loopholes in the code for what we have to go through for what can be approved, not approved, who you know, what you know, how things get approved or disapproved in here. So I'm just trying to figure out whether special use under 5 acres is where you're coming in with the setbacks, where you're coming in for the use, because it all pertains to all the animals. Every animal thing has a different use in this, in our code, which runs on. But the fence, if you go through it, again, I believe you shouldn't be approving or disapproving it. Thank you.
All right, sir. Next.
Barbara. Now, if you'd come forward so I can swear you in. If you would state your name and place of residence for the record.
Barbara Manship.
Okay.
16771 Gravel Hill Road, Milton.
Thank you, Ms. Manship. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. If you would take the podium.
Good evening.
I just wanted to say a little bit about when she purchased the land from me. I was told that she wanted more than the regular lots that we had surveyed off because she'd like to have some pasture land so she could get a couple of horses for her two daughters as they were, you know, a couple of years because they were quite young then. Never ever was a dog mentioned. So I don't know how all this came about, but that was the purpose when she purchased the land. And all the rest of the way around that field, we have subdivisions of homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been AR, residential. And I can't see how anything could become commercial when it's been AR residential all this time and got all these homes with children and single families living there. But horses is the only thing I ever heard anything about.
See, ma'am, you don't consider raising dogs of being an agricultural type of business?
Not really.
Dogs on farms and...
It has to be listed commercial, does it not? Have a business like that?
Commercial kennel meaning that they would sell it no different than if you were raising horses to sell. The raising of horses, I don't believe, requires a commercial license. But it's always been zoned agricultural residential, AR.
Right.
And that's seems to be the use they're requesting.
Well, you have as many homes as probably, I didn't even count them, but probably 10 right around it. And the amount of noise, I'll call it, that goes along with it, it just doesn't seem the right thing to do.
So, ma'am, you're just against the kennel, not the pasture and the horses?
Pardon me?
You're just against the kennel, not the pasture or the horses?
No.
Not the fence, you just don't want the dog kennel?
The horses would be...
Okay.
Might stay quiet.
Okay.
All I know is that's what she told me when she bought the land. She intended later to get a couple of horses.
So has it been a problem with the dogs as far as noise?
Big time.
Would you like to hear?
Big time.
You'll have your turn to speak, sir. Okay.
Okay, any other questions?
There should be some way to have it more quiet if there's such a thing that's going on.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cormel, the problem we're sort of faced with is on this, it seems to me, with the kennel is whether those dogs are being raised for sale. I mean, that's the one hand, and then we've got the number of dogs that we have on the other hand. But then I think to people that have hunting dogs on their property, you know, and they may have more than 5 or 6 dogs, but nobody's calling that a commercial kennel. So, you know, in this case, I guess they're going for the special use exception based on
the number of dogs and the operation of the use of
for as a
regardless of if they're selling them or not, if they have a certain number of dogs and becomes considered a commercial kennel.
And it looks like raising them to breed.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, just a second.
Sir, just one moment. We'll give you a chance, please.
Take a step back, sir.
Can you step back, please, sir?
We've had people that have raised many dogs for their own personal use, but had to apply for a commercial kennel.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I was coming from on
it's
that.
It's kind of a catchword there as far as commercial.
Yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
I, the
it's
point
because
I was
of
making.
The number, the overall number of dogs.
Right. Yeah. 6, is it?
Is it 6? I think it's 6.
5 or more dogs, 6
yeah,
months or
five.
Older.
Yeah.
5 or more. Okay.
So she had less than 5.
If she had 5 or less, then she wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Right. But could she still breed them and sell them?
Well, see, that's where it gets a little confusing.
It gets a little...
But it's still under 5, though.
Well, not really, because that gets you into another category with special use exceptions, which talks about raising for sale of birds, bees, rabbit, or other small animals. I don't know whether a dog's necessarily a small animal, but it's the raising for sale part that gets you into the special use exception. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Keep coming up. Thanks. Just trying to get some things squared up. If you give your name and place of residence for the record.
It's Joe Marino, 16778 Gravel Hill Road, Milton, Delaware.
Affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth.
I always do.
Okay,
I do.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
Once again, we come before you, as we did last year, about the barking dogs and the commercial dog kennel at 16808 Gravel Hill Road, Milton. The last time my neighbors and I came before you with this complaint of constant barking dogs day and night, you said you would look into it. You would get back to me, but we're still waiting. We are totally against the granting of a special variance to operate a commercial dog kennel in our residential community. This landowner has lied to the previous landowner, Martin and Barbara Manship, who's just up here, stating that she was going to put horses. She never made any mention about a kennel, nor, I believe, she wouldn't have been sold the land, as the Manship's family property abuts to this property, and they are here. The kennel owner lied to the Sussex County Building Department by stating in the building permit that they wanted a dwelling with a private kennel, all the while they were breeding dogs for sale and advertising these dogs, which I have copies of the advertisements. So they were breeding and selling dogs from the time they got the CC. I also have a copy of the Planning and Zoning Commission, who came out on 4/26/16. And if you peruse to the bottom, it says, "We know with certain that you are breeding and selling dogs from this property, and there are only two options to bring this property into compliance." That was a year ago.
Sir,
yes.
Could you move your hat, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
It became so bad. Well, she's been operating this as shotgun pointer kennels on various email sites. It became so bad that I had to call the state police in on a Sunday after listening to barking dogs for hours. Trooper Pavlik, he arrived May 28th, 2016. He wrote up a complaint, number 04-16-32692. We were told by him to contact Animal Welfare, which we did. We spoke to Captain Jones, who sent out a worker several days later. And I was told as long as the dogs had food and water, the barking was not their problem. We then contacted DENRAC, Investigator Jim Fatecki of DENRAC, complaint number 97160771, under Title VII, Natural Resources Environmental Control, which I'm sure you're aware of. Administration Code 4.2.2, controlling any animal which barks continuously, is a violation. Now, after many phone calls with Investigator Fatecki, he advised me that DENRAC does not work after 5 p.m. and on weekends, and that a new agreement from the state was in the process of being written up. And this would have Animal Welfare, which works 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, would then take care of the barking dogs. Now, after 6 months went by, this was started in last summer. Well, after 6 months, I called him, and I was then informed by the investigator that Mrs. Hetty Brown, which I'm sure you all know, who was leading the transition of Animal Welfare, was gone, moved on to another position. Now, someone new would be looking into this. So we're back to square one again. So it seems that there's laws on the books, but that no one wants to enforce them. Now, please, we do not want a commercial dog kennel. I have to listen to dogs barking day and night. Just 2 weeks ago, 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, dogs barking. 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, dogs barking. And my neighbors are here. Our bedrooms face the kennels. The dogs come out, and it's like an echo chamber across the fields. This goes on day and night. This is what we listen to. We asked you last year, could you help us? Could you do something? Look into it. Enact some sort of a county ordinance. No. This is only, according to the paperwork, it says you can have 4 dogs, maybe 5, depending on who you talk to.
Sir, you use that as evidence?
Excuse me?
Are you using that as evidence, that phone?
I would like to put in paperwork here as
that's
evidence.
That's fine. No,
I'm not
going to
put this in.
Well,
you can hear
it. We have to leave it up here with the secretary then.
No, put it's, in it's the paperwork. Okay, because it's recorded on the tape. The audio will pick it up.
So you can hear it. Yeah. So now I'm going to put in paperwork that says how she's advertising, fact that she doesn't have a license, and we did a license search by the state, another one that she's AKC, 20 years, breeding dogs. Another one, breeding dogs, wonderful. Denrack report, state police report. I went to them, and I'm waiting to get a police report from them.
Sir.
Thank you for listening to me. And I'm sure my neighbors would like to step up and say...
Sir, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
You were here last year?
That's correct.
For the same
place? Same problem.
At the same place?
Same place.
Same place.
That's right. And the gentleman over here, I gave him my name and address, and you said, we'll look into it.
Over here, meaning the office?
Yes, the not gentleman in, who was sitting over
not
there.
Not a hearing.
But not here, but in the
not
office.
Not a hearing.
No, right okay. here. Gentleman sat right over there. He was one of your,
there was another application in the area, and his concern was, he brought up the concern about the noise from this property as well,
okay.
which is why we sent out the inspector a year ago to do the inspection, but it was not, there was not an application for this property. It was a neighboring property
that
triggered the reason why we're here tonight.
I never received any form that stated whether I was for this or against it.
How close is your property, sir?
It abuts.
It's adjacent.
My property, I can show you physically. This is my property right here on the corner. This is my house. My bedroom's right here. This kennel is like an echo chamber right here with the dogs. It just echoes right across here. This is my other neighbor who's here. That's his property.
Okay. And you didn't receive anything in the mail?
Nothing. Just get up
I think
three in the morning and
check
what that is.
Yep. Thank
you for your consideration.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, if you would step forward. If you would also state your name and place of residence for the record.
My name is Eileen Marino, and I live at 16778 Gravel Hill Road.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. You can take the podium.
Okay.
Good evening, ma'am.
As you can see, my husband's kind of riled up over this because this nonsense has been going on for the last 2 years. I have to say, when the weather just changed and we were outside working on our property, immediately these dogs started barking. 2 hours I waited. I finally said, I've had enough. I walked over to her property. I knocked on the door of her renters, and I asked them, I said, do you realize those dogs have been barking for the last 2 hours? And he said, that's not my problem. I just live here. Leave a note on the side door. That's the owner's problem. So this is basically what's been going on. It's at night, last year, almost all summer, half the time I slept on the couch in my living room. Several times I had to go up to my daughter's house because I couldn't handle the noise anymore. The stress has been beyond. I can't begin to tell you. I've called her and her mother on numerous occasions, and they never answer the phone. You leave a message, and they sometimes appear. They'll come over. They'll give a little food to the dog. They stay about an hour. They're gone. As soon as they're gone, the dogs start barking all over again. This is the big issue. I'm an animal lover. I've had dogs in my life as well. If you have dogs locked up all day and you're not living there, then it doesn't affect you. They live in a development. Do you think their development would put up with that nonsense? This is my home. This is my residence. I am retired, and I'm living here because I want peace and quiet. It's been wonderful up until the last 2 years, and I'm begging you guys, please, please, either she puts a cap over the damn fence around the yard or something. She could have had 20 dogs over there. I wouldn't even be standing here today. But she has no consideration for our privacy. And I can't even sit in my yard. I have friends over there going, holy crap, let's go inside. That's all I have to say.
Ma'am.
So please help me.
One question. Are the dogs outside or always in the kennel?
Well, the problem is she must have kennels that go in and out so the dogs can go in and out whenever they want. As soon as she leaves, they're out and they're barking. And the dog she had last year barked continuously. And I'd call her and I'd say to her, put a bark collar or something on the dog. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take care of it. It's never been taken care of.
Can you see the dogs from your place?
No, I cannot.
You cannot? You just hear it?
I'm sorry?
You just hear the...
I hear the barking.
Barking.
So I don't go out in my yard half the time because I can't... And another thing is, it's been a year and a half since I have opened a window in my house. I cannot open my windows. Okay. I don't think it's fair. They have more rights than I have. Thank you.
One more question, please.
Yes.
You say this has been going on for 2 years.
Close to 2 years, yes.
On this property?
Yes.
Okay. It's not on a neighboring property or
another county? No, it's definitely there.
This one. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's it?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Sure, come on up. Fancy both have the same thing to say.
Yeah.
If you would both state your names and place of residence.
Rhonda Manship.
Richard Manship.
At 23240 Neptune Road.
And do you both swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Okay.
I swear.
Thank you. You would take the podium.
Good evening.
We live in the neighborhood. Her land butts right up to our land on the back side.
Mm-hmm.
We have the house out front here. I'll show you real quick.
This is our home here, and this is our back lot.
And we're like our neighbor Joe. We've had a problem almost 2 years with dogs barking. For the last few months at night, we've not really heard them at all, really. I don't know if the wife has, but...
Yeah, I have heard them.
But during the day, especially on the weekends, a lot of times we can hear them, and they have either one or two dogs that seem to constantly bark for hours on end. And to go outside and try to enjoy anything, it's just impossible.
No, because I like to go outside. I got a swing and everything on the front porch and the back porch. And I'm usually on the front porch reading. And like I say, because, you know, the front porch, I try and avoid the dogs and everything. But like I say, the back porch, I can really hear them. But we enjoy, that's why we live in the country, because we enjoy them. And the only paper that we have was this one right here. We didn't get any other paper in the mail.
It didn't say anything on the bottom about approve or disapprove or anything else.
It sounds like, just for clarity's sake, what you got in the mail is the county's official notice.
Yes,
that's correct. The only thing the county sends out. So if anything else would have gone, that would have come from the applicant or somebody else involved, not from Sussex County, just for the benefit of you all in the audience.
And like our other neighbor, our bedroom is behind in the back of the house. And with the echo, you just cannot sleep when it's not barking.
That's why I say I usually go to bed around 9 o'clock, and that's when, you know, they're barking. That one night, I went ahead and I called Jill to let her know there was like a whining, you know, sounds like a little puppy, because apparently just had puppies and everything. And it seemed like it was stuck. I said, it was stuck underneath something or whatever. So I called her and she said, well, I'll be right on out there. But it's like I said, because I go to bed early. And like I said, just hearing barking in the back bedroom there. And like I said, we can't open up the back bedroom because my window's right over my bedroom, and that's where the dogs are in the back.
Excuse me.
That's really the only problem I have is barking dogs constantly. If they just bark once in a while, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But when it's constant, and at times when you want to enjoy the outdoors, you can't
do it.
So you're having more than four or five, you have four or five dogs barking it at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one or two of them, I mean, will constantly bark continuously. They've been nonstop for 2 to 3 hours at a time.
Now, when she's there, do they bark? You know?
I don't always know when she's there because the backside of the building is where they park their vehicles, so I don't always see whether their vehicles are there. But I do know that she doesn't live there.
Okay.
Mr. Mills, no other questions?
No questions.
Okay. Mr. President, are you? And no more?
No questions.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, then.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hale?
Yes?
Can we have Mrs. Hayes bring back up? Mrs. Hayes?
Mrs. Hayes?
I'll have to ask her a question.
Could you come back up? I think one of the members has a question to ask you. Okay.
Where do you live next to that?
So I live right beside the Manships.
Yes, please.
Right here is our home. That's Jill's. That's the Manships that were just up here. This is the Peppers, myself, and the Messicks.
Do you hear them barking?
Occasionally, if I hear them barking, I'll call Jill, and I'll say, do you want me to run over there and see if something is open? But not to the effect, to the extent of what
they're saying.
These people are saying. Whenever I have heard them barking, I just call Jill and let her know, and then she comes out and takes care of it. But I've talked to the Manships. I've talked to what is it, the Monroes or the
Marinos.
Because my kids are outside all the time. We have horses, we have goats. We do a lot with 4-H. We actually have one of her horses that she boards over here. So our kids are outside a lot. And the Marinos, he shoots outside in his backyard. And the last time this happened, I marched over there myself. I said, look, you know, you can't just shoot like that in your backyard. I've got little kids that are out here. He said, well, the dogs are barking. I said, I'm out here, too. I don't hear these dogs barking to the extent that you do. So all I can tell you is it's never to the extent. I mean, I've showed you where I live. If I do hear them barking, I always call her. She's very quick and responsible to get out there and take care of them. If she needed me to go over there, if they bothered those neighbors, I'm a stay-at-home mom. If it bothered them so much, I know where her key is. I can always go over there and check if that was, you know, if it bothered them that bad. But I don't know. I guess the line of the communication there is just not between them.
Right.
And how long you been living there?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
Yes.
You know, they've been having problems for 2 years.
Right.
Okay. You say that.
One question. Oh, go ahead.
Sure.
You say that he's shooting as in target practice or shooting because the dogs are barking?
Because the dogs are barking.
So he's just shooting into the air?
I guess so. Oh. I went over there and I said, look, unacceptable. You cannot do this. I don't know what you're shooting at.
Sure.
She's got two young children. I've got two young children. In fact, I had my children running inside after school saying, Mommy, it sounds like somebody's shooting outside. It sounds like they're shooting in the backyard. Well, honeys, I walked right over there. I said, look, you know, this cannot be.
Right.
So.
And how often does this happen?
With him shooting?
Yeah.
Well, not very often. This happened about a couple weeks ago. I have heard it before. It's rare. Maybe, you know.
Every few months?
Yeah, every few months or so. But it's not something he does often, I would say.
Okay, but it's because of the dogs, they feel.
Can you sleep at nighttime?
What?
Can you sleep at nighttime?
Yes, I can sleep at nighttime. But you know what? I've got a yellow lab. She's a yakker. And you know, I hear her, you know, and I don't hear her dogs per se, but I myself have two dogs.
Okay.
So. Okay, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Okay. And here at the end of the opposition, Chair will entertain a motion.
And just for the benefit of the board, for clarity's sake, I don't know what you all want to do on this. If you want to, there was a lot of evidence, if you want to, you know, defer it, but or if you want to act on it, whatever you're going to do, it probably makes the most sense. There's four items. There's two variances and two special use exceptions. Act on each one separately. I think that's the clearest way to go. Not to make more work for you all or for me. But.
Do you have a rebuttal?
Very briefly, if I may.
Sure. I'm sorry. Sure. I didn't see you raise your hand. Sure.
In some of the comments that you heard from the neighbors, one of them was that there's been breeding going on the property. There hasn't been breeding going on the property. The notice from Mr. Whaley in the Planning and Zoning Office said that if you breed on the property and if you have more than four dogs, which is what she had on the property when he was there and what is still there, you will be in violation. There was a warning that if you take further actions, you will be in violation. Breeding has not occurred, and there is not more than the four dogs that have been there. So there is no violation that regarding that. The current violation on the property is the fence height that's 3.5 or 3 3/4 inches over the property. And so I guess I say that to say that the fact that there's four dogs there right now does not make it a commercial kennel and is not a violation of the planning and zoning code. And I see Mr. Mills looking at me with a picture, and that was not taken at this property.
Okay. I'm a little confused. Right.
That is not on this property.
Okay.
That's at a different property.
So there are only four dogs that they have there.
That's correct.
And they're requesting to breed dogs there, but they have not.
That's the special use exception request before you tonight.
Okay.
To breed the dogs. Okay.
And the with respect to Mr. Marino mentioned the advertising. As I said during the presentation, she has a line of these dogs, has had it for decades. She has bred the dogs in other locations and here. It is correct that the address, if you were going to contact her or call her, because she now lives in Delaware, that you would contact her or call her here. But that doesn't mean that this is where the dogs are being raised. Mr. Whaley didn't find any puppies when he was at the property. The documents that Mr. Marino submitted are in your exhibit notebook. They are part of Mr. Whaley's investigation of this and were part of the warning that he extended to her regarding if you're going to breed more dogs, or actually breed dogs on the property or have more than five dogs on the property. So those are included in your exhibit notebook that was presented to you as part of tab 4.
Well, he did point out in Mr. Whaley's citation that, and it states, we know that with certain that you are breeding and selling dogs from this property, and there are only two options to bring the property into compliance.
They said that, and that letter was responded to the Planning and Zoning Office, I believe on May the 4th,
mm-hmm.
And 26. In that response, Ms. Sisersky conveyed to him there is no breeding of dogs. I mean, you don't see pictures of any puppies. And that is a business address. It doesn't mean that that's actually the address where the dogs are being bred.
Okay.
And the dogs are being housed. I guess the last thing I would say is that the dogs do have bark collars on them. Ms. Sisersky, as you just heard a neighbor testify, if people contact her, she goes out there to try to resolve whatever the situation is with the barking dogs. And frankly, as soon as the single family home dwelling is built on the property, she will be living there full time on the property. But as I indicated during the initial presentation, the special use exception for a commercial kennel is to be able to breed dogs on the property, an activity not taking place there. And as I said, the puppies would be inside as they are susceptible to other animals and mosquitoes and getting diseases and those types of things.
How many dogs does she have if she goes to this breeding and everything else? Do you know?
Her number of dogs at the property doesn't change. I mean, it does when obviously there's a litter of puppies there. But as I said, those are there for 7 to 8 weeks. Her line has always been very popular. And as I said, they're normally within the first week of her advertising that there are puppies available, they are all spoken for.
Gone. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure can.
Mr. Hutt, I don't know what the board's going to do on this. You know, if they may deny it, they may approve it. But looking at the picture, just thinking of like a practical solution, it's a big metal building with probably concrete pad, and it's a big open yard with metal fences, and the building has a metal roof. It probably just resonates when any dog in there barks. As your client, if it was approved, given any thought to some sort of buffering, I don't know how well trees work with dogs. I know dogs like trees, but you know, just to try to deaden the noise somehow, because it just seems like looking at the thing, and I don't know what the board's going to do, but it probably actually makes the sound worse than it could be if there was some, you know, measures taken to buffer the noise, just given all the metal involved in the place.
Certainly, and you could always add vegetation to cut down on the reflective nature of the metal products used in building the kennels as well as the pole barn. And she has discussed with me that a vegetative barrier between her and the other properties, not just for noise barrier, but also just general privacy and separation of the property lines between the various property owners in that area.
Okay, just a sort of a thought and a possible suggestion, that's all. Try to keep the neighbors happy.
She's talking, you're talking about putting trees up?
Yes, and I mean, she can address what she might do.
Yes.
I thought of a wooden privacy fence possibly, but I even thought of acoustical panels on the inside of the, if they were waterproof, on the inside of the metal, I didn't know. But basically, I got really good shock collars, and I've kept them in all for probably 9 months, and I just recently let them out and got them brand new shock collars. I don't like putting shock collars on, bark collars on, but I don't like keeping them penned up either. So we let them have playtime a couple times a day, and then but whenever I live there, a couple of them will be house dogs, office dogs, and so it just reduces the number. But it's just the butterflies and the bees that get them going in the summertime, and they are bird dogs. So I work real hard to try to, I can't stand a barking dog myself, and I respond within 10, 15 minutes if I get a phone call from my neighbors. So a little over-exaggerative this evening on their number of complaints.
Ma'am, are they barking at nighttime?
That's what they're complaining about, is the nighttime barking. They have in the past, and I responded in the middle of the night, and I blocked them in with 2x4s and blocks, and they've been blocked in for a long time. But it's a beautiful facility, and so I've just recently left them loose with, I surrendered to the bark collar, and they're rechargeable, so.
So what size trees are you talking about putting up? I mean, you're going to have
Well, if I did, it would be on the inside of the fence, right?
Yes.
And those fast-growing, I mean, it'll take some time to get them. Probably my special use exception would expire by the time the trees would grow, so I just don't know. I was going to look into acoustical panels first, if anything. I don't know if, so I just, you know, and mount them on the metal. But I built the metal fence overkill. It's the nicest dog fence ever. It's a pole fence. Mm-hmm. And
that's metal. Steel. Looks like it's like steel. Yeah.
It's like a pole building. It's a 4x4 metal on both sides because I cherish the dogs, and I didn't want, so it just worked against me. So, but basically, I'm just trying to keep any incident of barking from occurring. And when I'm there and they're out romping around barking at each other, I even tell them to hush them. I mean, I daren't have any kind of barking occurring based on the neighbors. Thank you.
Okay. Danny?
Thank you.
Okay.
What is the maximum number of dogs that she's considering having for breeding?
Well, there's 6 cages there, so mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the maximum number that
would
be there, although the county's ordinance, as Mr. Robertson pointed out, may not be a model of clarity with respect to what exactly that means. But there are 6 different individual kennels in those pictures that you saw.
So the maximum would be 6?
Correct.
Okay.
Plus the puppies.
That are there for a few weeks.
Right.
For 4 or 7 weeks.
Okay. And would she consider maybe a berm? Or is that something that is cost prohibitive?
We've never had any discussions that involved a berm, fences, and maybe fast growers like Leland cypresses or something like that. But and the acoustical panels that she mentioned, but not a berm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, that'd be the end. Chair will then entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's a lot to consider. We've gotten a lot of information here. I say, I think it's a lot to consider. We have a lot of information here, and I would make a motion that we would table case number 11,000.
962.
Until next regular meeting.
Which will be June the 5th. Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we table case number 11,962 until our next regular meeting, which will be June the 5th. All those in favor of the motion?
Mr. Ricker?
Aye.
Mr. Burton?
Aye.
Again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
And Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And I'm Mr. Callaway, so by vote of 5-0, case number 11,962 is tabled.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
There's Mr. Sharp. Good luck the rest of the evening.
Changing of the guards.
The next case is number 11,960, Delmarva Power and Light, seeking a variance from the minimum buffer and landscape requirements, section 115-194.1 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southwest side of Coastal Highway Route 1, approximately 340 feet southeast of Dartmouth Drive. The 911 address is 18200 Coastal Highway Lewis. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 334, Map 6, Parcels 497 and 496. We received zero letters of opposition, zero letters of support, and one mail return.